Alongside the missile, Qadri Ismail, welcome back to the program. And let's get right to it with Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. And Jameson, a really interesting day on a couple of different levels at the Under Armour Performance Center today between the brothers Jones and then I would say defiance from Ray Rice, if you want to start there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's and probably this would happen with a lot of people. If you keep getting asked the same questions every week and you keep telling, hey, everything's going to turn around, you say that every Wednesday and then every Sunday it doesn't turn around, there's going to be a level of frustration. And do we expect Ray Rice to come out and say, you know what, I'm banged up, or say, hey, I have some doubts whether I can turn my season around? No. So, I mean, he's saying the things that we expect him to say, but you can sense that he's getting, like you said, a little defiant, a little frustrated, because this is the first time in his career where he's not being able to go out there and produce. And I don't think, in his mind, I think he believes that he's at full strength, but when you watch him out there, I just can't see a guy that is the same Ray Rice that we've seen the previous five seasons.
It's weird, too, because there's the, you know, over 30. He's 20. What is he, 26, right?
He's 26 years old.
That's prime, like, running back age. The game is absolutely slowed down age, and just it's just hard to kind of wrap your brain around the fact that, yeah, you're seeing him not be what we are used to him being. And his game is one where, whether it been, you know, those Pittsburgh games, the opening day of the season, a first carry is an explosive one, or a playoff game against the Patriots where he's, you know, up in Foxborough taking it to the house. I mean, making a guy miss, hey, diddle Ray Rice up the middle. We're not seeing any of that. It's like we're celebrating a 8-9 yard run as like, oh my God, look at that. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, I did some research, and I mean, even just the age factor at 26, you're right, Hugh. This is prime time for running backs, because you look at the top 15 rushers in the NFL, there's only three rushers that are younger than the age of 26. So you're hitting in that spot where you should be, you know, reaching the peak level. And then I also looked kind of just seeing, you know, where did the slowdown kind of begin for him? And it goes a little bit beyond this year. It's interesting enough, it starts when Jim Caldwell took over as offensive coordinator. And you look at the games that he's played under him, and I think it's 15 games for Ray Rice. He's only had two runs over 20 yards in those games under Caldwell.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's coincidence or if, you know, you could also say, hey, it was towards the end of last season when, you know, he looked like he might be wearing down, and then that just carried over to this year. But when you look back at when did the productivity level change, it was at the point when Jim Caldwell took over.
Fascinating. We're going to hear from Ray Rice coming up next segment. But Jameson, today John Harbaugh was very political in how he said it, but he was very clear in how he said it. Ed Reed is not coming back to the Baltimore Ravens.
Ed Reed is not walking through that door.
Yeah, hey, believe me, Ed Reed, Ed Reed's going to go into the Ring of Honor. He's going into the Hall of Fame. He's a friend, but he's not going to be a member of the Baltimore Ravens, basically. That's what he said. He likes the personnel, and I don't think that surprises anybody. You could see that towards the end of the year, it wasn't the same Ed Reed that we expected. It wasn't making the great plays. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Ravens didn't actively pursue him to keep him. The Houston Texans paid him all that money. And I think it's very telling that when a team guarantees between $5 and $6 million to a player and they release him at this point in the season, especially a team that has two wins and they need all the players that they can get, they're releasing Ed Reed. I think that speaks volumes of where he is as a player right now. But he, you know, historically, he'll go down as one of the best to ever play the safety position. I think he's the third best Raven to ever suit up for the team.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be sentimental. You have to be realistic.
The realism of football is that, yeah, you know, everybody kind of hits their peak. Father Time is undefeated, and that's what we're looking at. What are your thoughts on, you know, just the whole Joe Flacco. We're not beating a dead horse by any stretch of imagination. Obviously, you know, we've talked on air, off air, ad nauseum about it. Certainly, his record speaks for itself, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, going into last week's game, one of the things I thought that, you know, made him so special was his arm strength and his ability to one of the reasons why they drafted him was because it didn't matter the conditions. But we saw in Cleveland and we saw it, you know, last week as far as the wind and how it affected his ball. But do you think that there's anything as far as, you know, a chink in the armor off of his play?
Yeah, that's kind of I'm glad you brought it. That's the biggest surprise to me of Flacco. And there's been games this year, and especially the past couple, where he's been probably inaccurate. But when you look over his career, he's never been a 65% plus completion percentage. So he's been a streaky passer. But the one thing that he's always been able to provide is the deep pass. And the Ravens don't win a Super Bowl without him chucking it down the field, hitting Jacoby Jones, Torrey Smith, and creating those big plays. Last week, he was 0-for-7 on deep passes. And it's been that way the whole year. And when you look at the reason of him not completing this, they're almost always underthrown. And it gets to the point when you're thinking, okay, last week was the wind. One week, he was explaining that he didn't want to overthrow the receiver. But it seems like to be starting to be a trend here. And when you're not able to stretch teams and even have that threat of being able to throw the deep pass, that's why you're seeing so many teams blitz, because they're saying, hey, if he's not going to be the deep, we can play single coverage and go after him with five guys. And I think that's what's really hurting, is that teams can now pressure him and he doesn't have the way to really hurt them. And he's going to keep seeing that blitz until he's able to hit that deep pass.
And that's the crazy thing about it, because of the fact that they led the league last year in explosive plays.
Yeah, and he still has – you can talk about them losing Anquan Boldin, Dennis Pitta, but he still has the weapons that he had last year when it came to stretching the field.
Right.
You have Jacoby Jones, who's now fully healthy. You have Torrey Smith. And when you see teams playing, you know, single deep, pretty much a run defense against the Ravens, they're just basically daring Flacco to throw deep against them. And I think that's kind of been, like I said, that's been the biggest shock to me. And, you know, you don't know what's going on. I mean, you wouldn't think that Joe is just losing his arm strength, but when you watch the film, it just doesn't seem like he has as strong of an arm as he did even just, we're talking like, you know, 9 months ago.
Interesting stuff. Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. Jameson, thank you very much for joining us.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
That's Jameson Hensley. I do want to mention that Haloti Ngata, Daryl Smith, and Lardarius Webb all did not participate today at Ravens practice in Owings Mills. We'll come back with more next here on BAL.
Time to take a look at traffic and weather, because that horn keeps honking. So, shh, quiet. Navigator, take it away.
We're still hearing about problems on the east side. If you're doing the Route 40 Pulaski Highway through Rosedale, expect some delays, and that would include the alternates that you may think about on the east side, because 40... past the Fire Academy, or actually near the Fire Academy, there was a water main break, and that work apparently continuing on with folks still hitting delays. We had outer loop slowing coming down from Lock Raven Boulevard to Providence Road. There was a crash near Delaney Valley Road. Looks like that's cleared out of the way. Northbound 29 at Stewart Lane for a crash. Trying to get an accident, a lane confirmed for you. In northbound 83 at Seminary for a right lane closure with a little fender bender cleanup. The WBAL Insta Weather Plus forecast, clear and cold tonight. 21 in the suburbs, 30 near the bay. I'm Tamara Nelson on WBAL, WBAL.com.